Hello, Internet.
It's the Internet. It's delayed.
It's the Internet.
It's delayed Internet.
Good yes. evening, Internet. Time release Internet.
Hey, Internet. Hey, yeah. How are you doing?
Take two score reports in the morning and call us.
Yes.
Hey, Internet, I'm going to torment Giants Bane your ass.
Oh, hey. Tormund.
The Internet is Lady Brienne, and I'm Tormund Giants Bane, baby.
That needs to happen.
It does. It really
and
does.
And it needs to be, like, you know, not alluded to. I want to see it.
Yeah.
It needs to be full bounce-a-ka-pow now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love Brienne, obviously, because she's awesome. And her reaction is just... it's just... I mean, she's probably, first of all, she's probably not used to getting that sort of attention from men.
Yes.
So it's probably all, like, very new to her. And then it's Tormund, who is...
Open and
he's
leering.
Tormund. That's all you need to say.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Just the actor playing him is doing such an awesome job.
Yeah, really
awesome. He
really
is.
He's so obviously, it's obviously smitten. I mean, it's like.
He's like full on, how you doing?
Yeah. And he's like almost like that one scene where they're both sitting on the horses. And he's looking at her, and she looks over, and he does this, like, happy sigh, like, oh, she looked at me. It's almost like a schoolboy crush. And he's, like, has that dorky, goofy grin on his. It's perfect. It is so perfect. And I need to see it happen.
All right. Can I officially jump in and say what the hell are we talking about?
Game of Thrones. Shut up.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. I heard about that thing. That's the one written by the fat guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The fat guy with the dumb hat.
That we all hate.
He does wear a dumb hat.
It's I don't know what it is about the hat.
It's because he's an asshole.
Yes, he is.
He's
a very rich asshole.
Oh, I mean, I got no problem with him being a rich asshole and whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean that his writing is shit. I mean, Stephen King's a fucking asshole, and I liked his earlier work. I liked him all the way up until very, very recently. He appears to have fallen completely off the what-the-fuck bus.
People tend to
liked him right up until the thump.
People tend to associate lots of writing with good.
Yeah.
Yes, that is interesting.
So they'll
is he one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like the dude spews words and never stops.
Because I got, like, massively hooked on, like, Lord of the Rings in my teens.
No,
and
that
so
was actually
I spent
good.
I spent the rest of my childhood essentially chasing these fucking god awful fantasy series that were they would decide how many books they wanted to write, then they would decide how much story they could then they would try to write the story around it.
Yep. Song of Fire and Ice. So just what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, just huge fucking just piles of filler. Because it's one of those, oh, no. I said it was going to be a 14-book series.
Yep.
So, yes. Yeah, so I've got to write, like, 8 books with, like, no storyline whatsoever.
Yes, and endless digressions. And,
you get, like, the mundane sitcom in the middle of the series.
Yeah. Yeah. But enough about Terry Pratchett.
Hey, don't you diss Terry. I'll fight you for Terry.
You leave Brittany alone!
I'll cut you.
Oh, man. So we missed last week.
Yeah.
We were actually, Brita and I actually talked about doing a show, but, you know, we actually sat down, we got on Skype, we made a call, and we're like, you know what? We really don't want to do a show.
We were both kind of
weird
tired.
Weird and Jay aren't here, and it's just, it'd be like phoning it in. So we just decided to cancel.
Yeah.
It'd be like computering it in.
Yeah. It just didn't work. So anyway, Weird and Jay are back. Weird and Jay were at the NRA annual meeting, both in the same, not only in the same city, but in the same building.
The same building.
For days at a time and never saw each other.
That is so weird.
That tells you, did you get attendance figures for it, Jay?
Over 80,000. See? It was 80,452,
wow.
I think, but don't quote me.
So... Those are like,
it was over 80,000.
Those are like lottery winning odds. I mean, seeing each other, one in 84,000.
It was second only to Houston. Houston was apparently a little bit bigger.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's Houston.
That's because Houston. It's Houston, right. Versus Louisville.
It's Houston.
Louisville's a really nice city, but just the way it was set up, the conference center was like 7 miles from where all the hotels were.
Yes.
So the traffic was on a par with Pittsburgh.
Remember oh, that? No. Here? Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I strongly disagree. I was driving with Ryan, and oddly, Ryan from Handgun Radio is very much like Jay in traffic.
Oh, no.
He is a very sweet, pleasant guy to be around, but suddenly you box him in with a bunch of cars and dumb drivers, and he turns into the most flaming asshole on the planet.
Wow.
So you didn't find the traffic bad?
I mean, it was weird.
Closed his eyes and didn't see any of it. I think that's what he's trying to tell you.
No, not really. No, it was one of those. We got in like 3/4 of the way, and there was like the last like 2 miles were kind of stop and go.
Yeah, that's. Well,
and then of course, since we were media, we went through the side entrance, and they just waved us through. So,
the parking lot, it's some sort of like county fairgrounds, and it's pay parking. And rather than waive the parking fee, they had every car stop and pay.
Oh no!
So you got this ridiculous bottleneck. Now,
that's insane. What were they thinking?
Yeah. Why they didn't negotiate, just waive it.
They should have, you know, the NRA could have forked over a couple of hundred, you know, $10,000 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you give us 10 grand?
Right.
No, see, it's even easier than that. Here's how much money we brought to the last 5 places that we had a convention in. You're going to waive that fee, right?
Yeah.
But
exactly.
You know, it was one of those things.
Have all the dog shit food vendors in there, and they're charging highway robbery for a friggin' sandwich.
Well, that was the other thing. It was a huge convention center. We actually did not use all the space. There was a section down the end that was just empty.
Oh, no shit.
The problem is there's nothing anywhere near it. There's like a couple of hotels, there's a Cracker Barrel, and that's it. Downtown, there's a ton of stuff going on, but the Kentucky International Conference Center is undergoing renovations. So, and that's like right now, it was like a block from our hotel. It would have been perfect, but it wasn't available. So.
Sounds like I'm glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, it was.
Because I wouldn't have seen Jay, I wouldn't have seen Weird.
Well, see, Weird could have stopped by the NRA booth at 10 o'clock on Sunday because he's too cool for that.
It was an 18-hour drive. So on Sunday we were kissing Louisville goodbye.
Ah, gotcha.
Because that meant the fact that we left at 7 a.m. that meant that we got back. I got back to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh. I got to see the littlest squirrel, which was awesome.
I did too.
I get to meet her in a couple weeks.
They told me that they saw you and that you didn't talk to them at all. You just talked to the baby.
She was so cute. I said hi to them. But I was talking to her because, like, holy crap, the number of babies there.
Oh,
and, like, every single baby that I saw, there was, like, literally, like, 300 babies at this at this convention. And every single one of them was having the best time.
Yes. Yes, they just loved it. It was a really good time. It really was. I mean, I was pretty much out straight. I mean, you know, we announced our big news at this annual meeting that we're becoming a official journal. So I wound up walking and shaking hands with everybody because, you know, that's what we do. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was just physically exhausting. I probably walked about 30 miles a day.
Yeah, this is one of those times when I'd actually want to have a Fitbit just to see. Just to see, because this is like one of those like, oh my god, I'm doing an unnatural amount of walking.
Yes. Yeah, it was one of those things. I never stopped moving, so I never got sore. So it was kind of cool.
So Jay, as an employee of the National Rifle Association, how many do you get to see a bunch of the exhibits? Do you have enough time off that you can actually enjoy the convention?
I had enough time that I managed to like run by most of them.
Did you see the Cabot Arms meteor guns?
Yes.
Oh, those were so cool.
We're not covering the meteorite guns, but we You'll have to explain weird.
Yes, please explain for those.
Okay, yeah. So Cabot Arms, super duper high end 1911 maker. They acquired a, I guess it is a meteorite, blah 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 semantics. But they acquired like a 7-pound nickel iron meteorite. So essentially, naturally occurring stainless steel. And they scanned it so that they were able to stuff as many 1911 parts into it as they could and had it computer cut.
Oh my gosh.
And ended up making a pair of 1911s, a left-handed one and a right-handed one.
Awesome.
And a pocket knife out of this like meteor. So it had that striated pattern. I forget what they called it, but I'm not a geologist, but it had that kind of like crackly leaf type pattern to it of the crystalline of the metal. And yeah. And they do like all these like crazy polishing and stuff like that. So it's just amazing.
Hey, did you see who they've got shilling for them?
D. Snyder.
Wow. I love it.
From Twisted Sister?
Yes.
No.
No, the other D. Snyder.
The other D. Snyder.
Yeah.
The conservative.
Though he's got short hair now. I don't know how I feel about that.
Makeup or no makeup?
I liked him better when he was a pretty girl.
My guess is it's probably falling out.
Oh, well, it happens. Jay.
Yes, it does. But yeah, and of course, you know, Fat Tony. Also known as Joe Montana.
Yes. I like to think of him as Spencer. I had some sort of audio. I can't remember which one it was, but one of the Robert Parker Spencer for Hire books that was read by Joe Montana, and I think he was hands down the best Spencer ever.
That Tony, I love it.
Definitely better than the Robert Urich in the TV and TV movies.
Oh, I see the meteorite pistol.
Yes.
That is very pretty.
It's very cool. And they want something like $250,000 for it.
They'll get it.
Which is awesome. It's probably, like 1911s in Spain.
They'll probably get a bidding one. It's one of those like, what are you going to do? They're really, really well done. I mean, they openly say it's one of those, the metal is a little bit softer than what they wanted to use. But they put a few tricks behind the scenes, essentially like they welded on using some sort of crazy like laser business. They spot welded on a pair of stainless steel rails onto it so that there are some harder bearing surfaces on the tougher parts of the gun. But essentially they said, so really only shoot it a little bit. They go, you could probably shoot this like thousands of rounds without really any issues, but not like the person who buys it is going to. This is
no, of course not
entirely like, it's not even a barbecue gun. You wouldn't want to stuff this in a holster.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was pretty cool.
What's really cool is they took this 4.5 billion year old, amazing meteor.
Yep.
And made a gun out of it.
Made two guns and a knife out of it.
Yeah. And a couple of sets of grips and.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. No, it's pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty darn cool.
I'm impressed.
It's not like meteorites are well. They're not that rare,
but to find a large piece that is a solid metallic crystal of uniform.
Yeah, I suppose.
A lot of them have voids and stuff in them and things like that. So, and also this one specifically they picked this one out because it is nickel and iron, so it's essentially going to be stainless.
Sure.
It's probably not completely stainless, but. It's plus, more stainless than like a lot of them are very almost like pure iron. And so, yeah, they'd just be total fucking rust buckets.
And it fell from space.
Yeah. Outer space.
Outer space. It came from outer space.
But I saw the Fraggles. That's just the rest of the world.
Fraggles. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
For you children out there, there used to be this group called the Muppets.
Fraggles were great.
The Fraggles were a radicalized version of the Muppets.
Speaking of meeting somebody cool, I met Hayden.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, from Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Very no, British we were Hayden. Yeah. I was at the Walther booth, and Ryan and I were just kind of just poke kicking tires, really. There was nothing there remarkable. I just hadn't handled some of their newfangled stuff. And Hayden's a bit of a Walther fan, evidently, but Ryan bumped into him and saw the Squirrel Port shirt and said, "You know, Weird Beard's just over there."
Oh.
And he went, "Oh." And oh my God, like even sweeter in person.
Yes. Yes.
Which, I mean, you didn't think so. I mean, he gave me the diabetes. He's so sweet.
Diabetes.
Awesome. You know, that's the one thing I'm going to miss about not having people call in is
I'm going to miss talking to the people.
To people like Hayden and, you know, MDiv and all those people. That.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, tough shit.
Not Arctic Elf. That guy sucks.
maybe we can get him to call in on the Skype and chat with us every now and then.
Skype.
Like yes, a reunion Skype. Show.
If he's not at the Walmarts, yes, he can call in on the Skype.
It is the Skype.
Alan's old. And from Texas.
And from Texas, I was about to say. The Walmart.
Yep. So I guess the big thing I have is I just finished my 300 blackout SBR. And my suppressor, I'm still waiting on that. But.
And you learned something about your back.
Oh, I did learn something about my back.
Say what about your back?
It's not a tumor.
Oh, did you have a growth?
Yeah, well, it was a, what the fuck did they call it? Crap.
A fibroblast?
No, it was a...
synovial cyst.
That's it. It's a synovial cyst.
Ooh. Did that mean pus came out?
I imagine there was, because this was basically a liquid-filled sac that was pressing against the nerve in my back.
It might have been interstitial fluid, but
it was.
So did they not? Did they not
grind
away bone? Did they just pop out?
No, they took off. There were some spurs and stuff. They took out while he was there.
Did they jingle jangle jingle?
Yes.
Because you're from Texas
again. From Texas.
Yeah. So
biggest one the doctor.
That's
ever
what he
seen.
Says. The biggest one he's seen. So.
The cyst or the spurs?
The cyst.
The spurs.
The spurs were kind of small.
Give them to Cabot. They'll make a 1911 on them.
How big was the cyst? Did he tell you fruit? They always tell you fruit.
He said it was keep in mind this was like inside the hole that the nerve comes out in the vertebrae. Right? So and it's like between L4 and L5. And he said it was something like half an inch in diameter.
Oh wow.
So I mean, as cysts go, it wasn't that big, but where it was pretty big.
No wonder you couldn't feel your leg.
Yeah, no kidding. And
So who is bigger, the cyst or Mr. Prickles?
Oh, the cyst. The cyst was much bigger. Mr. Prickles was only 8 millimeters.
Oh God! Please stop having medical weirdness.
You know what? 8 millimeters is. Where's my
rule? Uh oh, we need a metric conversion.
That's almost half an inch. No. No, it's not.
Half an inch is 11 or 12.
Okay,
nine.
So yeah, half an inch is bigger. Okay. Anyway.
You step out of the room for 30 seconds and that's what you come back in.
Do you feel a gazillion times better, Alan?
Oh yeah, actually I do.
Do they give you all kinds of crazy dope?
I got some hydrocodone, which is not that great. It mostly makes me nauseous and gives me insomnia. So
that's because you weren't bumping it and snorting it.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, you need to crush it up and rail it.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Cut it up with your credit card while wearing a polyester leisure suit.
Oh. Yeah, I'll pass.
Did you ever have a polyester leisure suit, Alan?
No, I did not. So I called.
I know Jay had to have had one. You had one.
I was actually taking it because right at first it really hurt and it actually did help with the pain. When you actually have pain, those things actually, it's better than the pain, regardless of the side effects, right?
It's better than the pain.
It is. You know.
Not,
okay. I
not,
was
not not
for
not
those
for my
of
wife.
you for those of you who have never experienced it, but when you have a really bad pain, I'm talking kidney stone pain, I'm talking broken back pain, I'm talking excruciating, you lose your mental faculties pain.
Yeah.
And they stick a shot of morphine in that IV and you feel it hit.
Yep.
It is the best fucking thing in the world.
You see why people get
yeah, you see why people get addicted to it, because yeah. Damn.
I actually did that with Valium after my after one of my car accidents, where it was like by the third night I was like, "Is it time to take Valium yet? Is it time to take Valium?"
Yeah,
yet?
Yeah. You start because I'm you know laying in the hospital on Demerol and stuff, and you start you start looking at the clock, and you're like, "Fuck,
is it time yet? Is it time yet?"
Yeah, that's when you know it's time to stop.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm done.
See, I'm the other way around. I'm the they gave me the codeine cough syrup when I had the flu, which was exactly what I needed because I just couldn't clear my lungs because it just hurt so much to cough, and that just took all the edge off of the pain. So then all of a sudden I could cough and I could breathe, and then after 3 days that was like. I was out of that woods, and then like another like four days later after that, I'm like, oh, thank goodness I hit the end of this bottle because yeah, no, this was awesome. It's delicious.
delicious morphine. Mm.
At least your liver metabolizes it into it.
Morphine, brownest of the brown liquors. No way.
No, this was straight up purple drank.
Purple. Yeah.
And then there was ketoprofen.
Ketoprofen?
Ketoprofen, another NSAID that has the unfortunate side effect of explosive diarrhea.
Oh, hey. Oh,
yeah. Bad. Yeah.
Hot pass on that one.
Depends on how backed up you are. That might be a good thing.
System. And I could not leave my apartment because I could not leave the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Is it never trust a fart sort of moment?
It's don't get off the shitter. Like, seriously. It was like the most horrifying 2 days of my life.
Wow.
Be like, all right, I think I'm at a point where I can go make some No, I'm not!
Man, this is great podcasting here.
Speaking of shitter, I've had a fun fucking week because I came back from the NRA convention to a house now that has one shitter.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Did you blow up your other one?
And no shower and no tub.
What?
Goodness. What on earth did that little girl do?
What happened?
We planned for this since I was heading out of town. We planned for this, although we talked to our contractor, and he said, you know what? If you give me a week, I can do all the demolition of your bathroom so that we don't have to worry about you or the baby ingesting horrible internal wall compounds. And so, yeah, I'm once again in a house with three walls.
Oh, my gosh.
So the nice thing about it is we will have a third bathroom in the house.
Ah. And it'll be
two fulls and one half. And a completely revamped primary bathroom, and also we've got a third floor, and that'll be all finished off. It was kind of half. Did you ever go all the way up there, Jay?
Not to the third floor, no.
Okay, yeah.
I know having the extra space is big, and having it finished is huge.
Yeah, but essentially, we're adding a bathroom to the third floor so that we can turn that into a convertible guest space. We're going to use Murphy beds. So
nice.
It won't.
Oh my gosh.
So the whole point was, you know, we were talking about, I mean, my daughter's essentially in a glorified closet. She's in this weird little nook that is essentially just an anteroom that leads up to the attic.
And it's
perfect because it's right beside our bedroom and it's tiny. And so is she. But she's not going to be tiny forever, and she's considerably larger than she was.
Those rooms make really nice offices.
Yeah, that's what it was when we first moved in. I think we may turn it into like a library/reading nook.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. My wife keeps mentioning that she wants it back for an office, but she really doesn't. She doesn't even have a desktop anymore. She just uses laptops. So it's just like, you just steal my chair and camp out there in my chair in the living room and do all your work. Plus we're going to have this like super sweet third floor. Turn the third floor into your office. But yeah, so she was like, really, we need to move her into what's the guest bedroom. And I said, yeah, but where are our guests going to stay? And she goes,
who cares? Well, we don't have
put them. Well, no, but like when our parents come to help us. Yeah, yeah. This is a good thing. Guests can very much be a good thing. She says, put them up on the third floor. I said, I'm not going to have like our aging parents going up and down attic stairs. We've modified the attic stairs so they're not as treacherous as they used to be, but they're still steep ass fucking stairs. Not having to trampoline up and down like three or four times a night to pee. She says, well, we'll put a bathroom up there. I said, okay, I'm listening. But the key point is I do not want it to be like a room with beds in it. I want it to be a room that you can like go and beds.
That's hammocks.
Futons.
Hammocks. That's what you do.
No, we're doing Murphy beds. Because Murphy beds are friggin' awesome.
You're going to have to post pictures because I'm trying to picture the Murphy beds up there.
They essentially they're going to look like armoires. They're going to look like little, like they're going to actually have like little doors and stuff etched into them, but they're not functional.
Huh?
Let's see if I can find one. I'm looking up an image here. Let's see. Oh, wow. Here's one that looks like a, oh no, that's not. Why the hell is that showing up? Let's see. Oh, there we go. That's actually pretty much what it's going to look like. Let me put it in chat. Do, 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 do.
Are we in chat now?
Well, no, I'm in the thing.
Oh, that's really nice.
Oh, just as I said that, Radis is in the chat room.
No.
I'm probably.
Hi, Radis. Sorry.
You'll hear us later. We're talking to you from the past. We've had like the total Doctor Who episode. It's 1911s from space and talking to you from the past.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Jay sounds like a crooner from the 30s on the radio on his mic.
Though it's gotten better.
It's a little better, but still.
I was going to do that. Everybody do the Michigan rag.
There you go.
Michigan J-Frog. I learned everything.
Did you see the picture?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I don't think it's going to be quite as elaborate as that. And it's certainly not going to have like the side cases, but it's essentially that idea is it's kind of look like an armoire, but then you just flip a few switches and pull a handle and ta-da, bed.
No, you got to get like a remote. You're like, oi, oi. And it has to make the Transformers.
No, it needs to make those, that old car alarm.
Oi, oi, what?
Oh, the.
Yeah, but it makes the oi, oi, and then it'll do the Transformer.
Oh, man, this is just too much.
Yeah, I don't think I like Jay anymore.
Or you could do like the Star Trek door open.
Oh my God, Jay. Really?
Damn.
Is it because my idea is dorky or is my audio bad?
No, it's.
You're dorky.
Yeah.
They're laughing at you.
You're just realizing this. Really?
No.
Oh my God. Really. Jay's nerdy.
Hey, Jay, are you looking forward to the new Star Trek series?
Wait, what's the new Star Trek series?
Yeah, CBS is doing a new Star Trek series.
Oh, wow. So CBS is planning to write that off?
I don't know.
It's all for tax reasons.
Yeah, it could be.
Who's the captain?
I don't know, but apparently their take is it's a weird thing. They're doing the premiere on the broadcast network, and then the rest of the show is going to show on their like internet streaming service.
Right up there with Captain America being a Nazi.
Huh?
Is it called Star Trek Beyond?
No, that's a movie.
Oh, that's a movie.
The movie and the TV show, it's just, let's milk the franchise for everything we got.
Of course that's what they're doing.
Please let the new captain be Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, my gosh.
There's an internet thing that says it's going to be
Nathan Fillion. But he's done that already. He's already been a space captain.
Yeah, I know. He already was a kick-ass captain.
If you want him
to be a kick-ass captain, bring back season fucking two.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously. And you're welcome, Jay.
Yes. Thank you, Brady. You were right.
I have another.
You're right about Firefly. You were right about Archer.
The three words that mean so much. More than any other three words in the world.
Do you watch Mark Bob's Bills, Burgers? Please. Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
I couldn't get into Bob's Burgers.
What? What?
What's wrong with you?
Weird humor.
I did like the daughter with the deep voice talking about her itchy vagina.
Yeah, that first episode is, yeah.
You got to watch more than one episode, Weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if I did.
But the voice for the guy in Bob's Burgers is Archer. Yeah. It took me a while to...
Hence why, Brita, you need to watch Wet Hot American Summer, the series on Netflix.
Okay.
Because, well, actually, you could actually watch the movie as well, because he's in both of them.
Like as himself, or is it a cartoon?
So in the movie, he's a voice actor.
Oh. Okay.
In the series, the actual H. John Benjamin appears. And yeah, no, he's not as sexy as Archer.
No. Well, who is, really?
I am.
Well, okay. Can we talk about your video, speaking of?
Which video?
You at the NRA convention.
Yes?
With the microphone being sexy.
Was it being sexy?
What?
Well, you just exist and are sexy.
Did you have unnatural thoughts about me, Brita?
I always do. You know this.
No, Brita's thoughts are all natural. she's the gluten free of.
Hey, internet.
I wanted to talk to you about that, though.
Do you know how I know Brita wants me? She's a woman.
Don't go all Trump on us now, Weird.
Seriously, I love Hispanics.
People listening to this show are suddenly confused.
What were you saying about?
Well, I just wanted to ask you about that because I didn't realize you were doing like video interviews. It was very official, and you had a microphone with a little foamy thing on it, and you were standing there. Was it the first time you'd ever done that?
In recent memory, yes. I may have done such things before, but I have done it before, but just yeah, and it was always just as that, like completely impromptu. Just do you want to do this?
Porn?
Yeah, sure. Give me 5 seconds just to block out everything. Done. I'm good.
That was cool.
It was super.
Are you talking about the K&M video?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I want one of those fucking rifles so bad.
Make sure they swap out the flash hider for a muzzle brake.
Actually going to swap it out for an end cap.
Swap it out for a quick release for your suppressor.
Massachusetts.
You're moving, right?
If he was moving, he wouldn't have to swap it out for anything.
If he was moving, he wouldn't be redoing his attic.
Yes. And also, attic being paid for by mama's money. And let's face it, my allowance being paid for by mama's money.
Yeah, you're not moving. I'm sorry.
And come on, why would I want to stop being a kept man? It's awesome.
Yeah,
because you can be a kept man in New Hampshire. That's why. Duh.
Yeah, but I hop on the train and I'm in Boston. And my wife hops on the train and is in Boston.
That's true.
And as I joked to her when she finally was essentially cured of her seizure disorder and was going to get her license back, I said, "Remember, dear, you may be seizure free, but you are still a woman."
Oh,
meaning
she let you live?
Oh, it was the old like weird 1950s things that women don't know how to drive. It's a stereotype I've never got myself, Brita.
Oh.
But any chance for me to be crass to my wife, I take advantage of.
It's not like the Chinese.
Yes.
Who really can't drive.
Well, that is friggin' true.
Have you seen their cars?
Well, actually, a bunch of the Chinese nationals I've worked with, like, they didn't drive until they got here.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, like, that makes sense. Literally,
they were like 30 in their 30s, and suddenly, you know.
Suddenly they have a car.
Now you get to learn how to drive a car.
Have you seen how their vehicles do in crash tests?
I've seen how they care about human rights, and so
they're
horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, safety's really not a concern.
Better or worse than the Honda Previa.
I think the attitude in China is if more people die, that's a plus.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, they're starting to relax that, like, one infant per couple, so they got to thin the herd off a little bit, otherwise the socialism might invert itself.
Yeah. Car crash. I'm seeing if I can find some. They routinely, like, they'll show it where the A-pillar shears completely off and the windshield comes right where the driver, it decapitates the mannequin.
Oh.
Wow.
They run it through, like, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration crash tests. And I mean, you a carton of eggs would hold up better.
Hmm.
You could hurl Ming vases at a cement floor and they would have a better survivability rate.
Isn't that special?
Chinese car scores zero in crash test. Wow. Zero.
Even
I believe that's the same score given to glass.
Even the what was it that
the 5 mile an hour bumper impact?
No,
involves everyone being burned alive inside the car.
the car exploded.
It was the Corvair that what's his name was said was unsafe at any speed. Right, the Corvair. So you're saying it's worse than the Corvair?
The Corvair didn't explode and suddenly turn into spinning metal blades.
Ouch.
And was, zero. That was Ralph Nader, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and wasn't that like right up there with Rachel Carson's Silent Spring?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, and Margaret Sanger and her eugenics program.
Well, I mean, she had some good ideas.
There are plenty of Rachel Carson middle schools, but where I grew up wants to get rid of the sachem because it's offensive to Native Americans.
Ugh.
Rachel Carson, who's killed millions of people, perfectly fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. School that honors Native American.
Because she killed them for the right reason.
What's that?
She killed them for the right reason.
Right.
That's like the whole, like, you know, what is it? Watermelon progressives, green on the outside, red in the middle.
Yep. Mm.
Yes.
That whole new thing is like, yeah, no, you fit in this like whole carbon tax thing. Gee, all of a sudden, all you need, that's just a line for success. The more successful you are, the more carbon you're producing.
Yep.
And you know, never mind how completely fucking irrelevant it is.
Well, that's just like anti-gun people. If you could go into the future and demonstratively prove to anti-gun people that banning air quotes guns would cause more people to die, they wouldn't care.
Nope.
They'd say, yes, but we banned guns.
Right.
So
for the children, you know,
I'll say
the end result does not matter to them.
I promised my source I wouldn't publish them, but I do have a mole inside a certain anti-gun organization.
Awesome.
And yeah, that's and it's honestly speaking, I'm not even all that upset that I can't publish it because it's really not that big a smoking gun. It's just exactly what you'd expect. They're constantly saying, well, yeah, we got to tone it down. It's the, yeah, let's just ban them all. Let's just get rid of them. It's all just literally just ban them all, get rid of them. Only cops in the military get to have guns. But
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But and then they just go, yes, but we're never going to accomplish that. So let's again pull the wool. I mean, that's the whole look at the 94 assault weapons ban, the most sweeping gun control law ever passed in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally they wanted to ban handguns and realized they couldn't ban handguns because it was again, the Brady campaign was one of the spearheads on that. And they were Handgun Control Incorporated even at the time of the ban. They then decided, well, look, we're losing, you know, from the, you know, like the 70s on, they were losing traction constantly on banning handguns across the country. So instead, they started looking at like banning rifles, and they realized, oh, there's too many Elmer Fudds here. They're not going to let us ban rifles. Well, what about semi-auto rifles? What if we just do this subclass of that? Well, no, there's actually a bunch of people that like to hunt ducks with auto fives and have various semi-auto, you know, hunting rifles and all that. Oh, look. So there's this bunch of like Eastern European rifles that are, you know, kind of crappy and moderately imported. And there's this like crazy weird Armalite sporting rifle that's like crazy expensive for the time and made of plastic and ugly looking. These things aren't really selling all that well. And, oh, there's actually military trials for these. Let's ban those, and we'll make people think they're machine guns.
Yeah, I remember back in the 80s, the early 80s, AR was like $1,200, $1,300.
Yeah.
And basically Colt made them. Nobody else did.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that was in the 80s. That's a shit. That was a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money now, but it was like a whole lot more then. And so they didn't sell well. Like you said, they weren't, almost nobody had one.
Right. This was in the time period when you could buy and, you know, like an SKS for about $80 and an AK for under 300.
Right.
I think you could buy an SKS and a spam can of surplus 7.6x39 for $80.
Yeah. Right. You could definitely under 100.
But there is the, you know, slightly unproven Brady 2, you know, law out there that essentially went further down the line. But, I mean, even that, you know, some people might argue, no, that was never a submitted bill. That was never, you know, that's all kind of, you know, goofy, made up conspiracy theory stuff. All you have to do is look at the 10 years that we had that was they essentially boiled down to more than, you know, more than two evil features and your gun was bad. So again, so something like an AR-15, you need to have the pistol grip because that's just, it's got an inline stock and there's no way around that. So you keep the inline stock and pistol grip and you get rid of the flash hider, muzzle threading and the bayonet lug and ta-da, you've got a band compliant AR. And instead of saying, here's their complying with the law, I mean, it's one of those when – was it Chuck Schumer? Who was the one that banned 4 Loko?
Oh, God. It might have been Schumer. No, was Menino. Was Mumbles.
Was it Menino?
Yes, it was.
Either way, when 4 Loko was banned, the overall statement was, you cannot have an alcoholic beverage that contains caffeine. You can't have a caffeinated energy drink. Or an alcohol containing energy drink. So 4 Loko stopped making their current formulation and pulled out all the caffeine. And you could go into any terrible liquor store today and buy 4 Loko, and it's the exact same horrible shit, but no caffeine.
Right.
And nobody has said peep about that because, hey, guess what? There was a ban. They complied with the ban. And they're like, good, we're happy. That's all we wanted. I mean, never mind the fact that, you know, you've got like Kahlua and Tia Maria and other like, you know, liquor that contains caffeine. Or you can go into any bar and order a vodka and Red Bull and they'll pour a shot of vodka into a Red Bull. And ta-da,
Irish coffee.
You just Irish coffee. I mean, there's a million and one, you know, there's a million and one cocktail speedballs out there on the market.
Yeah, but those aren't enjoyed by minorities.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. But either way, they complied with the ban, and nobody said anything. But meanwhile, when it came to ban compliant quote unquote assault weapons, it was post ban assault weapons. It was exploiting a loophole. No, yes. It's not. You told us we can't make this gun, so we stopped making that gun, and we've made a similar gun that does not that is not any of your crap. There's no, you know, there's no stupid loophole sort of idea. But again, the whole point was doing that, and then also, like, again, when I talked to Ken at K&M Arms, I'm like, do you make a mass compliant one? And he immediately started like ratting off some like, oh, do you guys have like an overall length restriction or all that? And I'm like, no, because. again, there's a bunch of other states that have passed their own version of the assault weapons ban where they have gone even further to try to essentially make it impossible for you to get an AR-15. And that was the whole point.
Yeah, you can buy a Ruger Mini 14 all day long, and it's the same exact thing.
Yes. Except you can't hit anything with it.
Well,
yeah. I heard they fixed that part.
Yes, yes. But, you know, the practicality is there is no difference. It's all on looks. They hate these rifles because they're black.
Not even that. No, it's not even that. Is they're attacking these rifles because they have that exploitability factor.
Exactly.
That, I mean, in the 90s, they had this. They would pull somebody up with a AK-47 or an M16 and have them do a mag dump into the berm.
Yeah.
And while talking about AR-15s and Wasser 10s and other, you know, other semi-auto rifles.
There was a sheriff, I don't remember where, but he like actively participated in the demonstration. You know, had a full auto, cut a cinder block in half with it. That was the big thing.
Exactly. And that's what Josh Sugarman wrote, that whole little thing about the fact that the public could be easily confused to think that these guns are machine guns and we need to exploit that. So that's the only reason why they're attacking quote unquote assault weapons. But the bottom line is, like I said, in these emails, it is literally just there is someone will chime in and say, ban them all. And nobody will come in and go, seriously, cool it. Or, you know, maybe we should cut this asshole loose, you know, sort of idea. There's no internal fighting. It's the, yeah, no, we want to ban every single one of them. But that's not going to happen. We can't get that. That's too extreme for the legislature. So therefore, we need to make this very modest proposal.
We can't be honest about our intentions.
They cannot be honest about their agenda, but they're always heading down the path towards a total ban.
Of course. Oh, were there any protesters at the NRA convention this year?
No, because again, as Jay said before, it was in the middle of a massive fairground.
Oh.
So right.
They weren't going to pay $8 a car to come in, park, and protest.
And I think they could probably be forcibly removed because I think they would be on private property. Like
I would imagine so. Plus two, it's not a media thing.
Oh,
you know, they're not on a public street where the cameras can gather and get pictures of them so they can virtue signal.
Actually, evidently they were at like some local university. I don't know. I forget the name of which
university. University of Kentucky, Louisville, I believe.
Yeah. But they were there and they were screening the Katie Couric unbiased documentary on gun control.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
That I believe technically you have to call it a mockumentary.
Yes.
Because, somebody give the background on this if somebody knows it well. Because
Katie Couric, and I think Bloomberg financed it as well, but decided to – the premise is this is going to show all sides of the gun debate. And it's going to talk
– Really? About
oh, they claimed yes. they were going to do unbiased, huh?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I've actually, you know, next week I'm going to be doing a gun plug variety cast on it. And yeah, no, one thing is Katie Couric talking about, oh yeah, no, I came at this whole issue with an open mind.
Yeah.
What? Oh. No.
And so when the movie first was released, the first person to speak out was John Lott, who was like, Katie Couric came to my office and she and a camera crew interviewed me for over 4 hours. And I assume Lott took the similar contingencies as the next group I'm going to talk about. But Lott expected, you know, all right, I assume she's going to butcher me. You know, she's going to put, you know, what, you know, she's going to twist my words around and put things out of context and things like that. But, you know, instead, John Lott appears nowhere in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Just one of those, like, whoops. I'm going to interview this guy for 4 hours and nope, nothing in there suits my agenda. So nuke it, throw it in the trash. And then on top of that, what was it, Virginia Citizens Defense League.
Yep, Philip Van Cleve.
Yep, she interviewed a panel of them. I don't know, were they board of directors or were they just random members or what was the story behind this panel?
I don't know.
It was a fairly good sized room of it. But in the movie, Katie Couric off panel is saying something along the lines of, you know, how do you keep, you know, it, without universal background checks, how do you keep criminals and terrorists from getting a hold of these guns?
Right.
And then you see, I believe it's 9.5 seconds of just complete dead air.
Yep.
Panning from face to face of these members
looking
of the,
at the ground. And,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
And just kind of staring blankly. So just getting just the caught them flat footed. I got you motherfuckers. There's nothing there except Katie Couric doesn't appear on panel because Katie Couric's not talking to them. They're all just sitting there waiting for the next line of questioning
between. It's B footage. Yes, it's B-roll. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. That's awful. They're just politely waiting for her to come up with the next question. She right. intentionally left some dead air and filmed them. And then on top of that, they were smart enough to run a side recording. And I have done this as well. I will never interact with anti-gunners unless I have the ability to capture everything that's going on in real time. Yeah, because again, they will play this shit. I mean, they will go through and they will edit pieces. I mean, if you're commenting on a blog, there have been bloggers that have edited pieces out of people's statements. So all of a sudden it's different.
So the reality is that when asked that question, this group came up with instantaneous all kinds of things,
multiple answers on different levels of you know, from somewhat moderate to the more, I mean, the first person to start talking out is going the, look, man, if you're not in prison, then you should be trusted with a gun.
Right.
If you can't be trusted with a gun, you can't be trusted with matches and gasoline. So,
and terrorists have no qualms about, you know, blowing up buildings. They're not going to care that they can't legally get a gun.
Well, yes. Plus terrorists, you know, we all know terrorists don't get their guns from, you know, the same
place. We know where they get them. They get them from the ATF in Operation Fast and Furious.
Yes.
True.
They get them from the U.S. government.
Well, the sad thing is that she's going to get away with it.
Of course she will.
Because there is that confirmation bias.
Well, people, I don't know. She's actually, to be surprised, she's truth. Getting hammered pretty good. Like, yeah,
by,
but it's actually
who?
Hitting mainstream sources.
Yeah, but the Hillary, Bernie, Trump voters
don't care.
Will never hear that.
No, they just have a confirmation bias. They seek out, you know, things that reinforce their worldview. And so she'll get away with it, and, you know.
And you know
people
what?
People still think Dan Rather was telling the truth.
Yep. Yep. I guarantee you that 3 to 5 years from now, they're going to point to that study like they still point to the Kellerman study.
Oh, God.
Right.
Oh,
the
yeah,
43
yeah.
times more likely to be killed by your own gun.
Yeah. Right.
They're still quoting Belisiles.
Yeah.
He claimed that there was no gun culture in the United States until the turn of the 20th century.
They're also still quoting Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah.
People are still talking about what's that movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, with George Bush and the goat.
Yes, yep. My pet goat.
Oh my God, that's not what happened. I mean, it's come out over and over again. Even the kids who have grown up that were actually in the classroom with George W. Bush at that moment,
right?
They tell a completely different story, but people are still citing that.
Yeah,
and then even more, you've got, you know, the Barack Obama at the Cuban baseball game.
Did he throw out the pitch? Because that would be worth his trip to Cuba alone.
Oh my gosh!
Him attempt to throw a baseball.
Well, actually, I'm trying to remember which national tragedy went down when that happened. And yeah, no, he didn't care. What happened when he was at the baseball game?
Let me look.
Shit, I can't even remember.
Belgium.
Belgium, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just, I mean, again, nobody fucking cares. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm perfectly aware of the My Pet Goat book because, yeah, that's part of the American zeitgeist. But like Barack Obama, claiming to be, oh yeah, no, I'm the trigger man for who killed bin Laden, but he was on a fucking golf course.
Well, the day after Benghazi, what, he went to Las Vegas for a fundraiser.
Yep.
Because
yeah, what difference does it make anyway?
Right.
What difference does it make?
Well, Barack Obama's excuse for going to that baseball game in Cuba was because he said the whole premise of terrorism is to try to disrupt people's ordinary lives. And so, God forbid, Barack Obama should miss a baseball game.
That's right.
Because of terrorists.
Yep. And Barack Obama's ordinary life is with his lips wrapped around the cock of an aging commie.
Yeah. When he's not bowing to Saudi princes.
Yes. Or apologizing for dropping the bomb in Hiroshima.
Oh, yeah. Did he apologize outright or?
I don't think he outright apologized. I think it was kind of, you know, hinted at.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hang our NRA employee out to dry too much on one of the political events that happened at this convention. But Donald Trump was there speaking at the NRA convention. And then, Jay, I don't know, were you like me when you heard about what was going on in New Mexico the other day? Did you have the parallel? There was supposedly this like gigantic fucking riot at a Trump speech in New Mexico.
Yeah, it was basically the leftists.
Yes.
Who, you know, through time-honored leftist tradition, decide the way to deal with speech you don't want to hear is to threaten violence to shut it down.
Threaten violence? Actually engage in violence?
Yes, yes.
They were setting T-shirts on fire and throwing them. If those are polyester T-shirts, that's actually a somewhat effective, weapon.
It's napalm.
It's napalm. Cat!
Must be feeding time.
And again, if you reverse it, if you make that Republicans at a Hillary rally or a Bernie rally,
oh my gosh!
I guarantee you, it would be front page news. It would be the leading story on the nightly news.
Yeah,
it would be the top of every news webpage.
But what a lot of them reported were riots at the Trump rally.
Yep, exactly.
They didn't say it was leftist commies protesting them. They just said riots at the Trump rally.
But either way,
it's a lot like, oh, Israeli soldiers opened fire on Palestinians again.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, Israeli soldiers murder a Palestinian teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he stabbed three people and they shot him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I got to say, I'm really glad they didn't try to pull that shit to stop Donald Trump from speaking at the NRA convention because a bunch of somebodies would have gone weapons hot. And I'm sure it'd be compared to Kent State.
I don't know. I think there might have been a bunch of jacked up pickup trucks with new tire coverings. But
yeah, hippies really get upset when you shoot them.
I don't think they'd waste the ammunition. I really, there were enough lifted pickup trucks that just start squishing people.
Oh man, we were all at Pittsburgh. Remember, we were at Pittsburgh and we were joking about the fact that the only people open carrying at the NRA show were bloggers.
Yep.
That is not the case anymore.
No, it's not.
Holy shit! I mean, towards the middle, I was suddenly noticing a lot of people on the – I mean, they might have been having like little 380s in their pocket or something like that, but I could not see a gun bulge on a lot of people there. But, oh my God, like there's just the number of people that were either open carrying or just obviously carrying firearms has come to a new level.
And yet – nobody was shot over a parking space, despite parking being horrific.
Hell, did you see on Miguel's blog? He every NRA convention, he goes and grabs the crime map for the weeks before and then later the weeks after. And oddly enough, it's violent crime, violent crime, violent crime, NRA show in time, quiet week. Violent crime, violent crime, violent crime. And I was poking Mike the Gun Guy, and I sent him that because he was talking about, like, you know, the myth that gun-free zones attract violent people. And I'm like, yeah, bullshit. And he goes, yeah, maybe it's because, like, 15% of those NRA members are cops. I said, didn't really do a whole lot of good in Baltimore or Ferguson. throw more cops at things. It doesn't necessarily settle them down. Throw just a whole bunch of fucking ambiguously armed people that could be mugging victims or could put a hollow point hole in you. All of a sudden, the criminals, they don't go away. But they behave themselves.
It's just they bide their time.
Speaking of that, what do you think about the Attorney General in the District of Columbia?
Oh, yeah.
Who has decided to ignore a court order.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, this has really gotten down to, I mean, we've got the whole, like, Hillary's, I mean, there's the old joke, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Is, as a general rule, like, if you've got, like, even a vague amount of evidence, I mean, you know, George Zimmerman got indicted, and let's face it, that was, like, the flimsiest case on the planet. I mean, just all they've got to do is just present a case, and the grand jury will indict them. And yet, Hillary hasn't been indicted. And you know, it really these sort of things really kind of put me to the idea that no, maybe we kind of are living in an anarchy society. Maybe this is complete anarchy.
Well, no, because they'll prosecute the little people.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they'll prosecute you.
If Alan hadn't gotten the stamp for his SBR and posted it, I guarantee you somebody would be knocking on his door tomorrow.
Try not paying your taxes.
Yeah.
See right.
What happens. See, yeah, right. Try me not paying my taxes.
Right.
Or Wesley Snipes.
Like, oh, or Willie Nelson.
Yeah, but those are, you know.
Willie's case was all about the weed, but it's all right.
Well, the Wesley Snipes evidently got himself tied up in some sort of like goofy, like conspiracy theorist type person that allegedly had like some bizarre interpretation of the Constitution where income tax was unconstitutional.
Did he constantly refer to himself as a sovereign citizen? Those are my favorite. The ones I don't have to show you my license. I'm a sovereign citizen. I'm like,
yeah,
you're arguing with a beat cop. You are going to lose. I guarantee you.
All right. And on that note, we're out of time.
Okay. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
That was a hard stop. Man.
Well,
yeah, I think I was wearing my safety belt.
Hour and 2 minutes now. So.
Oh, right. No.
Yep. 2 minutes.
That's it. We're getting time and a half.
Yep. Come on. Union is shutting us down.
It's a union gig, yes. Like the German army who can't train because it would involve overtime.
That's right. We're done.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm glad you're back.
Yep.
We're glad to be back.
It is good to be back.
See y'all next week.
Podcast. Yep.
All right. Same bat time, same bat channel. Yep.
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to say that on my badge, it did not have weirdworld.com because blogging is dead. I only had podcasts on my badge because who fucking cares about a blog?
There you go. Blogging's dead. All right.
Oh, well.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, Internet.